Rebecca.
And I'm Krabeshni.
And welcome to Building with Builders.
Our podcast where we believe that building is fun.
Super fun.
So much fun.
Build Her Collective was created to help women with building and renovating. And we believe that with the right tools, everyone can build. For us, it's all about encouraging women to take back control of the building process and really achieve their dreams.
We are women in the building industry, and as developers, builders, and project managers, it's our passion to share everything we know with other women doing the same. And that's why we've created this podcast for you.
So if you love all things building,
you're into design,
keen on the numbers,
about to renovate,
thinking and dreaming of that forever home and what it would look like,
or even developing for profit,
then you've found your family.
Subscribe to our podcast and follow our journey over at buildhercollective.com.au.
Welcome, Builders. You are in for an absolute treat today. We have Dylan Lark of Dylan James Photography. He is our photographer at Builders. He's also photographed, I think, all of our houses. And he's going to walk you through some of the tips and tricks that he uses behind the camera and, I guess, what his career progression has been from real estate photography to sort of more high-end residential photography and how that's evolved over time and how photography's evolved over time. So I hope you enjoy this interview as much as I do. Welcome, Dylan. Thank you for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me back.
Well, I think I met you, 5 years ago on a photo shoot. You were doing some real estate photography for us then, yeah?
Yeah, it would have been a real estate shoot back in the day.
Was it Mitchell Street?
Yeah, actually. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, it would have been, what was that, six Mitchell, whatever it was, through Jealous Craig, Northcote, 11 Mitchell, yes.
It was 11. And, fun fact, last weekend was 5 years ago to the day that we sold the house.
Right. Fun fact. There you go.
Yeah, so there you go. I have now known you for 5 years and 6 weeks.
Well, it feels like.
I'm counting.
I was going to say it feels like 2 minutes, but I don't even know what that means. So no, it's
that would have been
the first time, and at that stage, I think I was just brought on just as real estate photographer. You didn't have too much. You were just sort of putting your trust in Sam Bragopoulos, and that's sort of just how we linked up back then. And at that stage, I was obviously shooting real estate without all the standard sort of style of real estate, I guess.
Yeah, so I guess one of the things that I've noticed is you were one of the first people to take real estate photography to a more high-end residential look, so a more editorial look, I would normally.
Yeah, editorials, yeah, good word, yeah, for sure.
We, of course, loved that and jumped on board straight away. So traditionally what you'll find is that real estate photography is more of your overview of rooms. So they're selling a house and they're trying to show you spaces, and the editorial, and am I right or wrong here, is more showing you moments throughout a home.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's probably the best way to think of it, is rather than being a sort of factual documentation of space and making things look as large as possible, it's more about capturing emotion and moments and the feeling of a home rather than just the actual house, if that's probably the best way to put it.
Yeah, I really like that, because people don't buy a factual house. They don't buy into that. But we're really buying a house based on emotion, and that's why a lot of us buy a fixer-upper. We buy the dream rather than
absolutely.
What actually is.
No, absolutely.
Can you maybe talk us through, so just for everyone who's listening at home, you're a photographer. Can you talk us through what you actually do now and then maybe a little bit about your career progression from way back when we first met to now?
Mm-hmm. So these days I'm shooting mostly folio work for interior designers, architects, developers, builders. It has started to branch out into a little bit of commercial work now, so a bit of product kind of stuff, but essentially that's the majority of my work is folio work. I've gotten to this point, as I mentioned, through real estate. So real estate photography was my first job out of uni, actually. And when I was back in the day, when I actually worked for someone, that was odd, and I could never go back to that, but that's a different story for another day. From shooting that sort of standard wide angle or lights on corner of the room situation, developed a bit of a taste for architecture and interior design itself, and then through that have progressed my image style into, you know, more of a, yeah, this editorial kind of vibe. So the progression, I guess, started in those real estate days as, I guess, realizing what I was doing wasn't actually doing the house any justice, essentially. Moving from that, I would, you know, experiment with, yeah, shooting things in a different style, and so not, you know, not turning lights on, shooting one-point perspective or square, not using as wide a lens, capturing moments as opposed to whole rooms, and just adding those kind of shots. At early days, I was still definitely doing the wide stuff, but then including the odd frame here and there of that type of image, because as we all know, real estate agents are a little bit on the older fashioned side of things and take a little bit of convincing with this kind of stuff. So it was definitely a slow progression.
But it is pretty quick. So in the last 5 years, we've seen the entire industry turn from...
Oh, definitely.
And I guess real estate agent, I guess, and again, it depends on who you're working with. I'm working with someone who, I guess, is very much into improving things. So the psychology of purchasing and why people are identifying with a home and creating it. And I guess that's what kind of what you're creating as well. You're like, well, this is the way it's always been done, but is that what's resonating with people?
For sure, yep. And, yeah, it's definitely come a long way. And that's interesting that it is 5 years, actually, because, yeah, looking back to what it was like then, yeah, until now, it's a different world for sure. That progression sort of from the standard kind of thing to this more editorial style, it was one of these things where the agents that I was working with would see the difference. The people who were clued into it absolutely got it, and the people who didn't, and that's fine. Like, you know, I was never, I guess, never sort of held that against anyone. Yeah, it definitely was a...
People were showing strong preferences for?
yeah, definitely. It resonated with the right people, and so I guess that's why we're at this stage now where it has progressed so much, and yeah, we're in... Luckily, I think there's still some room to grow, but there's always going to be a progression with this kind of thing. But we're luckily at that stage now where homes are being sold much more in line with the feel and the lifestyle of the actual home as opposed to the literal bricks and mortar of the home. So, yeah, it's amazing. It's really, really awesome.
Yeah, I think styling's come a long way with that. I know sort of
definitely.
5 years ago, well, you know, like even as near as 5 years ago, it wasn't as commonplace to use a stylist. It was more optional, whereas now mm-hmm. I would say everyone uses a stylist pretty much in the areas that we're selling anyway, in the higher end categories. And I guess a lot of that was led by the magazines were already putting content out like that, and there was a huge disconnect from the magazines to what you could look at in the magazines and what you could purchase.
And that's literally where a lot of the inspiration came from, was from, yeah, looking at work that architecture photographers were producing and looking at the disparity between that and the real estate, you know, real estate content that was being made, and, yeah, exactly, pushing that real estate marketing content toward that area. That's literally the drive from I jumped onto and tried to push in my work, for sure.
So kind of exploring that a little bit further and bridging that gap, if you're someone who's going to get your house on the market, can you give us, you know, a couple of top tips about what works well in terms of a photographic sense? Because I know they used to do the dusk, you know, turn all the lights on, shoot at dusk.
Yeah, well, that specific thing, I am not sure that trend has passed.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
Just me.
Look, that is what it is. And it's not even just real estate. On the real estate side of things, it's some architects and developers are still so keen on that as well. It's definitely not just in the real estate world. But yeah, that trend is, I think, still prevalent, but that's fine. That is what it is. In terms of, I guess, from a photographer's side of things, for tips for having your house presented as best it could be possible for for a photographer to come through, yes, styling is, it's literally, it's what makes our images, essentially. Whether that means having homes part styled and having stylists come through and work with what you have existing and just, you know, refreshing or editing what's already there, or whether it's that or, yeah, completely furnishing a home with stylist furniture. That's, yeah, it literally is 80% of what makes the images work.
So when I work with you on a shoot, just so everyone kind of gets a scene for how it works, and I don't know whether you do this with everyone actually, but I know some of the houses you go in and you just shoot, we like, and I've done this with you previously where I've just left you alone in a house which I've styled and you've gone and fixed up the towels and corrected all the places I put things and kind of gone through and shot in that way. More currently, what we'll do is we'll get a stylist to work with you and adjust the images as you're shooting. Is that more what you're seeing now?
Yeah, that's actually an awesome point. So there is definitely a big difference between styling and setting a house up for it to look good in person when you're, you know, standing in house, and styling for an actual image. Essentially, if you have a room set up and it looks good in person, it looks great, that's fine. But if you're taking maybe 2, 3, 4 frames in that room, each frame that you're shooting is going to need to be restyled for that particular viewpoint from the camera. This is, yeah, this is one thing that is also on the real estate side of things, I guess, difficult to obtain. And it's sort of what, again, what I was sort of pushing towards. And it really is just a time thing, because obviously needing to edit every frame or the styling for each frame obviously takes more time. And it is the norm in the architecture interiors world that every frame is like meticulously edited to look absolute best.
So I want to set that up for people. So when you're doing that, you go into a home, you've got a room, we might say, and I think things have changed here where you used to get one hero image of a room, but now is it fair to say you're doing more content shoots where you've got to create more photos from a space?
I would agree, yeah. The actual image number has probably gone up. In a way, that's probably just because it's sort of in this zone between needing somewhat of a wide image to show how spaces relate to each other, and it's fine, it is what it is, but there's that into the moments and that kind of, yeah, that kind of stuff. So just naturally, yeah, there's definitely more content being produced for each shoot, that's for sure.
And so each time we set up one of those new frames, that photo might take from a fully styled house, it's not as much as moving your camera and going, yep, that's it. It might be setting up, it might be half an hour, it might be an hour of fiddling with stuff, it might be pulling things from different rooms, moving a cushion backwards and forwards and backwards and forwards and to the side and backwards and forwards. And at this point I've left.
At this point, you're in the other room, and the rest of us are there fussy around. That's fine. That's all good. You've got other stuff to worry about. That's all good.
Different skills. But that in itself is because you have one moment to capture that space, and that's the image that's going to live on for a period of time. So when I talk about it with people who are like builders and developers and people that are renovating for profit and trying to build, or stylists trying to build a portfolio of work, really what we're trying to do is create content that demonstrates how good our work is, so that fussing and moving stuff backwards and forwards, you're there for a very short period of time, but it's so important.
Yeah, and as you say, these images that we're making could kick around for, you know, the next 6-12 months, or in the case of just building to your portfolio, they're literally, you know, for the rest of your career. Like, they're actually the full stop in all of this work that you put into a project. So I've obviously gotten used to it, but I can imagine that people see it and wonder why you'd fuss over a particular image so much. But it literally is just capturing it in as best a way as you possibly can, and that's why needing to put that effort into each frame.
Yeah, and it's why you need someone who's got a very specialised skill for it, because you're right, it's like a year's worth of work, and we've been visualising how this comes together for so long. And then you're there for one day and you have to bring the magic.
Yeah, I'm actually fairly aware of this, is that with your shoots and with a lot of my other clients, I'm either following along with projects or I'm doing site visits beforehand. So I'm not going in completely cold. So I do have half an idea, but still I'm quite aware of the fact that I'm sort of coming in and experiencing these spaces for the first time in their current state, which has actually, I think it's got its pluses and its minuses. Like, in a way, that can actually mean that I can see things in a different light, because someone who's worked on a project can almost become blind to it because you've, you know, lived it for the last 6, 12, 18 months, however long, that someone coming in with fresh eyes is actually potentially a good thing. But contrary to that, I think it's always of our benefit, as in, I say our, as in the photographer's benefit, to really speak to your side of things, the developer, and get their thoughts on projects and how they see things and essentially how they imagine spaces to work, and try and obviously translate that into an image.
I think it's really important what you touched on there is kind of understanding what my outcomes are. So you understand, I mean, we've had a relationship now for a while, but you understand what I'm going to use these images for. You understand the context that I might need to use images. And we'll talk about the different shots that I want prior to you coming. So you know that I need X amount, you know, like what I'm trying to create out of a space. But if you haven't had that conversation with someone, you can't expect them to understand exactly what you're looking for. So having a really clear brief with your photographer would be really helpful. I know, like, it used to be you'd get 6 photos on a house, but I reckon we could get up to
we do end up getting quite a lot on your shoots. Yes, this is true. But literally the reason we do produce so much content is because of it's for your usage, and obviously Instagram side of things is more important than ever, and content is obviously king on that platform, so it's catering to what your needs are, essentially, I guess.
You know, the funny thing is, like, we've written a book and we've got to use all these photos over the period of time. And because we've been working with you and you've created this backlog of images, we've got stuff that we can use. Whereas I don't have access to those properties anymore. So if I wanted to go back, A, it's not going to be styled in a way that resonates with how I saw that project. It's now their home and how they live in it, which is not the same thing. And, you know, how do I demonstrate work if you don't capture it at that point in time? So I think, you know, your foresight in being able to deliver that and to be able to work with us and other clients, because I know you do this for other people as well, understanding it.
No, you're my only client, didn't I know
that? Well, no, I mean, I know you create portfolios of work that in a different way to maybe another photographer. More special, right, Dylan?
You're my most special client. That's what I meant to say. Yep.
Thank you. And I have that as a soundbite, and I will be using that. Thank you. Next time you say I can't come. Okay, so I guess the point is you don't know how you'll be using those images. So having them is really important. I know I was at a shoot that you did for another one of our builders the other day, and it was pretty beautiful. But like, it takes a lot of time and energy to set that up. And because you're coming at it with fresh eyes, how do you work with a stylist to move things and to convey what you're thinking and bridge that gap between what they're thinking?
Yeah. So it's definitely a give and take from what I'm thinking is going to make the strongest image, and what either a developer or stylist or whoever I'm working with, what their needs are. And it's, you know, it's always going to be a collaboration. That's just the nature of anything like this. In terms of bridging that gap, working to some kind of brief obviously makes my life a lot easier, because it means that we have some kind of target to aim for. And then naturally, no matter how strict a brief is, whether it's the real estate campaign, whether it's just folio work, whatever it is, it's always going to expand upon that. So it's a collaboration, and it's really just about working together and communicating and just collaborating. That's literally the best way to put it. Probably shouldn't admit this, but I do find that I fall into routines myself, and by routines I mean particular types of image. Like, I'll make the same type of image project after project. So obviously try to be open to suggestions from, even if it's someone who hasn't ever touched a camera in their life, how they see something can always inform how I could potentially capture something different. So it's a collaboration. Like I'm pressing the shutter button and I'm setting up frames and whatever, but it's further than that. It's more to that. It's about capturing a narrative and a story in images. It sounds so fucking corny. Sorry, am I allowed to swear on you?
You are allowed to swear.
Hooray.
But you're right. You're capturing that, and I would say I see what you're saying by the fact that you'd capture the same images time and time again, but I guess that's what you're paying someone who's got the experience not to have to try and think and make it up each time. You know that this type of shot will work. I know when we shoot with you, you'll do a lot of leading people through a series of rooms, the connection, which aren't your hero shots, but I use them quite a lot because they help explain the connections of spaces and tell that story, which traditionally would get left out of, like, say, a real estate campaign.
For sure. Yeah. I guess what I mean when I say I'd make the same types of shots over, it's sometimes isn't necessarily a bad thing. Like, you know, it's good to have that hero square kitchen shot, that, you know, hero facade shot. Like, that's fine. You know, it's not so much that, it's I'm consciously trying to be aware that there's different ways to look at spaces and ways that I wouldn't consider. And sometimes people will suggest things to me and I say, that's just not going to translate to an image. And to be honest, most of the time that is the case. But every now and again, it pushes me to make a frame that I wouldn't have considered otherwise. And that's amazing when that happens. It really, really is. But as the point of that is the best shoots and the best work that I produce is collaborative, for sure.
I really enjoy working with you in that way, and I guess not everyone gets to work with a photographer, and I guess I'm really lucky from that perspective. So thank you. For those of us that don't get to play with a photographer and a stylist, can you give us a couple of tips about how to take a nice photo of our interior on what we all have, probably an iPhone? I just put you on the spot. I didn't tell you where I was going to do that.
It's fine. So it's actually, and I haven't even told you what I'm about to say, which is that it's still early days, but it's been something that I've flirted with looking into, is creating some kind of online tutorial type thing for exactly this, because essentially you can make some awesome images with your iPhone. Yes, I'm obviously using professional photography gear, but that's not to say that, you know, like you look at Instagram, there's accounts which are shot 100% on iPhone and they're as good as anything that I'm producing. The camera's part of the story, but there's a lot more to it.
The artistic flair behind it.
Yeah, not even that. It's like the light, lighting, composition, all these other things that have to do with making an image, they are all apart from the camera. They're not, whatever format you're actually capturing an image on isn't really as important. It is all of that as well. So tips for iPhone photography: a natural light, turn off all of your internal lights. Don't ever have any fucking ceiling lights on because they'll come and slap you personally.
It's a lot of slapping.
As a general rule, soft light is good. And by soft light, I mean overcast days are everyone's friend for interiors. Short of that, if you have sunny days, shooting in, it may seem counterintuitive, but shooting not in direct light, as in shooting in the shadows, if that makes sense, is going to give you softer light and essentially be more flattering and easier to capture.
And then you edit that afterwards, right? So you'd never send me a non-edited photo.
Well, it's actually funny, interesting you bring that up. As I'm progressing more and more through my career and as I'm evolving, I am doing less and less on the press production side of things. So it's early days, and even now I do still have that inkling to lean on press production, but more and more, or more than ever, I'm doing less post work. And I haven't fully fleshed that out as to why, you know, how we fall into that trap of over-editing images. It's not to say that there isn't things that you still need to consider. Yeah, it's obviously not something that can be easily sort of expressed in a soundbite. It does still take practice and it does still take work. It's not the simplest thing, so don't be disappointed if, you know, you're looking at something, it looks amazing, and then it's just not translating to an iPhone image. It's not something that is easy, and it's the reason I have a job, essentially.
But you may or may not in the future bring out a course which will help people bridge that gap. And if you do so, you should be following along at Dylan James Photo and to know when it comes out. And I agree, it is a skill, and I guess we can't be good at everything. And there is years of practice and training and interest, and you're analysing every photo you see to get better all the time. And I've worked with you for 5 years where you've been improving the whole time, and I'm sure you were like learning before that. And so that's what an expert is, someone who has done this and perfected it and made those 1% and those, you know, 5% increments of getting better at it. So, we shouldn't be expected to be able to pick up the phone and take a studio quality image.
Absolutely not, no. And it's, yeah, literally, as I say, it's the reason I have a job, because interiors work, I feel, is quite specialised. So don't be disappointed if things aren't translating to a phone. Your home, I guess, isn't translating to a phone in the way that your Instagram feed looks.
Good, because mine doesn't. Yep. And it looks great. It just doesn't look great on the photo.
I know.
Although I would say that you're coming to my house soon, and it's always a lot of pressure. So I would, just say to people, when you are getting a house photographed, the pressure is real to put something forward, but a good photographer and a good stylist who works, because a stylist who works with a photographer is very different to a stylist that works for styling a house for sale. And if you can bridge the gap and have those two people, that's where they'll really help you make your images and your house shine.
Yep.
So thank you so much for having a chat to us today. I think we only bridged a very surface of...
Look, it's a complicated side of things, and it can have conversations on lots of facets of it, but we took up a little bit of a chunk.
Yeah. I think. Go for editorial style. Connect with emotions.
Yes.
That's our key message.
Exactly. Literally.
All right. Well, thank you so much for having a chat to us. And if you want to know more, if you want to follow along, it's Dylan James Photo on Instagram is how I follow Dylan. And if you click on any of the images that we've put up, generally you'll have a link to his photos below there too.
Thanks for listening to Building with Build Her. We'd love for you to spread the word.
For show notes, links and downloads and other awesome resources and freebies, head to buildhercollective.com.au. And don't forget, that's Build Her with an H-E-R.
And if you enjoyed this episode, it would mean so much to both of us if you could take a minute or two to leave a review.
And don't forget to subscribe so you can listen next time as we talk all things building and women making their mark in the building industry.